Parents and teachers in Guangdong province are welcoming new school guidelines that deem insulting nicknames to be a form of school bullying. And we're talking about primary schools and middle schools, so very much kids or young people before they turn adults. So let's look at what's going on in Guangdong Provincial Government of Education and the impact of that.
Well, what's going on really is the Guangdong people seems to have really an axe to grind with people with bullying, school bullies. So the Guangdong Provincial Department of Education and 12 other government departments and organizations have jointly released guidelines on November 13th. And according to the guidelines, given insulting nicknames and degrading others on social media with language or images will be considered a form of school violence, and students involved in serious bullying incidents could be expelled from school and sent to special schools for correction education. The plan applies to all elementary and secondary students, as well as those in technician training schools in Guangdong province. It requires each school in the province to establish a special committee to handle cases, with rulings required within 10 days. Committee at high schools may include student representatives. This is the first regulation of its kind in the province, which will take effect on December the 1st. Mm. So not only do they want to punish bullies, they also want them to be punished quick, mm-hmm. in the sense that they require rulings within 10 days.
Mm. Wow.
Tony, what stands out in all of this for you?
Well, I just think that it's interesting that, you know, the attacking someone not only in person but by media is also considered an act of violence. So I think that it's important to really, you know, get down to the nitty-gritty of what bullying is by definition. And apparently a school bully is someone who intentionally and maliciously causes physical, financial, or mental harm to others through speech, physical, or online abuse, regardless of whether it's done in, you know, in or out of school, according to the guidelines. And I feel like here there's two types of bullying. There's the one that causes physical damage. This is the type where the bully will most schools pay most attention to. And this is where colleagues are bullied for extortion, where sometimes, you know, kids will beat up someone else just for looking different. So this is really prevalent. And, you know, when I was growing up, a lot of times bullies would beat up some of the smaller kids for milk money. They would take their money. That way, these kids wouldn't have a lunch. And then this bully would just, this was his way of, you know, earning income. And there's the other side of bullying, spiritual insulting. And this type of bullying is commonly seen on campus, but we, you know, we easily neglect it. Just like when someone's talking about, you know, domestic violence, we discuss more on beating instead of emotional violence. And emotional violence is when you call someone names, and this has a really bad effect on people, not only just in that age group, but as they get older, that name sticks with them. I mean, there's still names that I remember from people calling me when I was a lot younger in elementary school, and to this day it still bothers me when I see the person. It's just I go back to when I was in elementary school. So sometimes these words and this name calling can stick with people for a really, really long time. So I think that's definitely something that needs to be addressed. And, you know, and to deal with the increasing bullying cases in Chinese schools, the State Council's Educational Supervision Committee in April launched an anti-bullying campaign in middle and primary schools. So I think this is definitely a really good step in the right direction.
Mm. But here I have a question on how do you define bullying or behaviors of bullying? Because according to the definition that Tony just shared, so a school bully is someone who intentionally and maliciously causes physical or financial or mental harm to others through speech, physical or online abuses. But I would argue in cases sometimes when kids are too young, when those so-called bullies are too young, they have no idea what they're doing. I mean, looking back in my childhood, I think I may have unintentionally bullied someone by inventing a nickname for them. And I come to think about it, I didn't do it intentionally to hurt someone. I was just simply trying to sort of be impressive about, oh, how smart am I to sort of be able to invent something like that. So that kind of thing is really hard to define. How do you, are schools supposed to punish kids for being a smartass?
Well, that's the thing. And So Lai Ming, the very innocent little Lai Ming, when he was in his mind being pretty smart in maybe singling out a person for one personal trait that this person has. And as kids, I think a lot of us didn't necessarily have that, well, certainly didn't understand what's politically correct and didn't really have this mechanism of being so-called appropriate. And it's easy sometimes to look at a person and just sort of pick out that one thing that this person is different from other people or the majority of classmates. And that could become maybe the source of an idea of a nickname. And Lai Ming, one thing I can agree with you is that it's kind of difficult to define and detect. Because if kids don't necessarily know if this is right or wrong, sometimes we're kind of expecting maybe the teachers to step in, or who's to tell that, hey, calling that kid fat or using some metaphors for something, that is not good. And this could be very hurtful for this kid who bring on that emotional baggage even when he or she has grown up into an adult. But how does that work? That's the part that I find a little bit difficult to set in practice.
I guess what we are saying here is that it's easy to pass those regulations and sort of demand schools to form the special committees, but it's not really easy in the practical sense, because there's a lot of nuance needed in order to discern one bully from another. But I do agree with the general direction where the authorities in Guangdong is going, in the sense that yes, they are looking into emotional bullying as much as they are looking into physical bullying, because I think that can be very, very traumatic to students who have been victims of such bullying. I remember specifically there was a classmate of mine who was somewhat chubby and was somewhat slower than others, and who would behave a little oddly from the average student. And for that, he was singled out once. The worst example I heard about him was while the entire school went out to see a film at the cinema, he was singled out in the boys' room, and he was demanded by a group of young kids to kneel down on the floor and see the national anthem. And I'm not sure how bad that boy would have felt, but if I imagine putting myself in that position, that experience is something that I can never shake off.
And I feel that a lot of people need to understand, based off of, you know, the story that you gave, that name calling can be a precursor to some other, you know, violent behaviors. And, you know, for example, names like fat or retard or nerd, you know, some of these names, you know, they're really derogatory and they chip away people's self-esteem and sense of worth and self-concept. And, you know, there's this old saying, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And I feel like most kids grew up hearing this, but this is not entirely true, as I mentioned before. And, you know, that some of these words resonate in us for many years. And it really keeps us in that state of mind and, you know, develop our self-esteem. So I think that each word has a certain meaning behind it. Whether if you call someone smart, I mean, this is definitely not a bad word, but if someone calls you a smarty pants and they tease you about it, then you may feel that you need to perform substandard to be accepted, because a lot of the other students, really it's insecurities that they have. They're jealous of some ability that this child is able to express in the classroom. So they tease this person for being smart. And so what that does to that student, it makes them feel bad about themselves. And so they start underperforming. So there's a psychological effect that takes place here. And I definitely feel that teachers must get involved in at least raising the awareness to the kids that this is not okay, and addressing the kids as their name and only their name, not giving different pet names or nicknames, because when you cross over that border, it's possible that some other, well, unfortunate activities can happen.
That's a really interesting point, Tony. But like you sort of said there, even positive words could have negative meaning, and it could be used negatively in different kind of context. And are we kind of saying now that kids shouldn't even call each other nicknames? I mean, how far is this watching and regulating are we going to conduct, even in classrooms of middle schools and primary schools?
Well, we have to look at the state of our youth today, and we've talked about it on a few broadcasts that definitely in the U.S. and in the U.K., there's a huge anxiety issue going on with a lot of youth, and not only anxiety, that goes into depression, and let's face it, there's a lot of suicide going on as well for a lot of high school and high school students mainly, and it's a lot of this has to do with acceptance. And a lot of times when students want to convey that this student is accepted or not, they use a lot of these names, and this is where it comes from. So I feel that if we didn't have these issues with, you know, depression, anxiety, and suicide, then perhaps a little bit of name calling is not a big deal. We can all grow up and develop and be perfectly normal. But it's clear through research that it's not okay. You know, this name calling can really do a lot of things. It erodes a victim's self, you know, sense of self. It causes kids to compromise their beliefs and values, where people will change the way that they are to fit in. You know, it affects a victim's self, you know, sense of well-being. You know, so they will, you know, withdraw and be a lot more, you know, hostile towards others because of what they're experiencing. And it can also impact a person's identity, who they are. You know, for example, someone calls you stupid. Well, eventually you will start to, if it repeats more and more, people will start to believe that, and other people will start to associate that word with that student. So it's just, it's very detrimental. And I think that we, you know, it has to be names, pet names, to be for consistency. It would be better for institutions to remove pet names altogether.
So is that it? Is that it? We just kiss goodbye to nicknames that in some cases can be terms of endearment? Because I remember myself having a nickname growing up in primary school. I remember specifically the smiling faces of female classmates who was just jokingly calling me by the nickname, because it was a sweet memory. And I think when it comes to nicknames, it really depends on who's calling it and how they are using that nicknames, because the same nicknames can be abused by a fellow classmate who didn't have a good intention on you, or it can be a very good term of endearment to show that we are close to you. When you look at, for instance, the armies and the sports teams, the kind of social environment where people do foster a very close relationship, and they often call themselves very nasty names to sort of show that we are close. And even in college, I mean, there's a typical example to show how college kids behave. When it comes to boy university students, when it comes to young men, and say a man gets a haircut and he comes back and his fellow roommate would say, "What a nasty haircut you've got." Mm-hmm. Whereas when it, in the case of girls, I mean, when they get a haircut, and most girls would just say, "Oh, that's so beautiful, and where did you get it? How much did you pay for it?" So it matters a lot who's using the nicknames and who or how they use it. And also it matters a lot who's on the receiving end of it. If you are a kid that's potentially very vulnerable to, for instance, when you already have problems at home, when your parents are already calling you names, calling you stupid or too fat, and when you get that from your fellow classmate, that I can imagine that to be totally traumatizing. Whereas if you are raised in a happy family and you've been told that words doesn't matter to you and whatever they call you doesn't matter, it shouldn't hurt you, and I think. In those cases, those kids can certainly take a beating, and also perhaps engender or foster a good relationship with those kids.
What you said is really interesting, and what I'm glad I'm a woman, actually, I feel, because I think there's something twisted about guys.
Man. Yeah, guys.
And, yeah, I've gotten this from like other male friends as well. They say, like, along the same lines as what Lai Ming has just told us, sometimes it's almost like insulting each other. Mm-hmm. That is a form of brotherhood or encouragement. What? That is just too complicated for me to understand. With women, it's very simple and straightforward. It's always compliments. Although, I do remember, actually, maybe occasionally, like really close girlfriends, we call each other slightly
derogative.
A little bit, but just, but you twist the tone and to make it acceptable, I guess, just a form of closeness, I suppose. But yeah, so that just, again, shows, I think this is kind of a little bit more complex of a situation than what I suppose the educational authorities originally deemed it to be. But although I do think that they're looking at an important area that previously I don't think there's much attention that's given to, that is the emotional and spiritual, also psychological side of abuse. And I see this as a very big step of improvement. I feel that what we get as trauma as little ones, it becomes sometimes wounds, scars, but it's kind of impossible to erase it from your memory, although there's the mechanism in our heads that is protective, that sometimes it can make us forget things. But when it happens, you usually carry that baggage till you're much older, and it will affect on your decisions, on your behavior. And sometimes we talk about and wonder why some people are kind of violent, but you don't really understand where it comes from, or very, very low tolerance to anything that could get in the way of this person. And so sometimes it can be stemmed from these childhood experiences. And I think what this guideline could possibly do, if it is implemented properly, is that I think give people a bit more dignity, or the sense of a little bit more protection that that can have profound influences on people. But again, implication is the key. And what do you think the teachers can do, or the parents can do? What needs to be done to get them involved and also equipped with the necessary weapons, or let's change a word, just solutions to this issue?
That's a really good question. And I think that in any situation such as this, it's good to know the results and what's really going on in our societies. And if people are really suffering from this type of bullying, then it's an awareness that parents need to be aware of, the students and even the teachers, because sometimes teachers, when they were younger, they probably experienced this as well. And they grew up and they felt like, well, in my case, I turned out okay. I think they can use a little bit of quote unquote tough love from their students. But it's difficult to make that distinction on how far to take tough love. And it's so I feel that definitely there needs to be some type of training for a lot of the teachers, because I feel the teachers are the gatekeepers at school. And then if they allow this type of name calling, and teachers do it too. There's a lot of teachers, in the U.S., they don't typically slander students, but they will give them certain pet names like man or dude or guy or bro or mister. And if it's a girl, they may say, you know, miss, or they'll maybe just say girl or hun or honey. But you have to be careful, especially nowadays with, different, there's a lot of stuff going on in the school system. So the misconduct issue is, you know, you have to be very careful about how you, what you refer students to. So,
but not even miss or mister. I thought that is actually giving dignity to these people and saying that, oh, I don't treat you just like a child, but you're actually kind of a grown up, and I'm giving you validation. And that can also be seen as wrong.
It could, you know, and I think what
it's tough being a teacher these days.
It is.
What can you say?
I think that, you know, given this, the age group here, again, elementary school and middle school, this is the age where children are most vulnerable emotionally, because they're changing from young children to young adults. And so their emotions, their hormones, everything is topsy-turvy, so to speak. So I think that, this, you know, verbally bullying people and saying certain things, this is why it resonates so much at this age. And so I think as you get older, again, when you're in college and you form, you know, certain groups and play sports together, it doesn't resonate as much because you've already, you know, gone into adulthood. So it's not so prevalent in your mind. But as a young person, I think that children are vulnerable and teachers need to be aware of the long-term effects that some of these words can have on people.
The guidelines do mention a special committee to handle such cases, and I imagine in such special committees the parents and teachers will probably have a role to play. And I think I would like to mention the point that actually in many cases, especially in smaller cities or in rural areas in China, the teachers are probably not well trained to the point where they can tell an abusive language that's coming even from their own mouths. I mean, I've been through this too. I mean, there was a math teacher in secondary school who was constantly reminding me to pay attention in math class. And his common language is that you should take heart in math, kid. Even if you feel like you do well in English, even if you want to study English in college, you still need a good score in math. And I don't know, he realized that, but once he keeps saying that, and that message is taken, is received not only by myself but also by my fellow classmates, and then some malicious kids will just take up the same tone. They would abuse using the same language after class. I mean, that's something where teachers cannot control. But I'm saying that there are teachers who are not necessarily well trained to know the difference, and I think in order for Guangdong province or in the entire country to make progress in this regard, a lot of the resources must be put into this, in training those teachers and also telling the parents what to do.
Yeah, and actually a lot of the times when we look at the families of bullies, so the active predator, so to speak, the one that's creating the insults.
But they're pretty messed up too.
That's the really sad part when you look at their families, and often it is because maybe that's how his or her parents speak with each other, and they bring it to the classroom and they become the bullies.
And, you know, kids learn a lot by modeling. You know, they watch their parents and they do what their parents do. And sometimes at home, and especially for bullies, persuading someone by power is typically what is done in their household. So, for example, if they don't do something right, perhaps their father or their mother will, you know, violently or physically make them do it, whether by striking them. And this exertion of power teaches the child that if I want something done, I need to physically force people to do it. So sometimes some of the tactics that are used at home, the parenting, and sometimes the language that's used, it's teaching the children that this is what I need to do to influence people and to get what I want.
Certainly this is one thing I think is it's salient, it's critical, it's something that everybody should know, that is, language has power. And let's not make it into a bad thing. So it's really important that the adults around kids are using, or try your best, okay, to find out more about this and use language that's not hurting people. And so then the kids will not pick up on that. And certainly another thing is about the cyber violence aspect of this, guideline, which I find very interesting. Gosh, these kids are going through a lot. When we were little, we didn't have to deal with that.
Cyberbullying.
As our society becomes more visual, I suppose, because, well, of social media. So hang in there, kids. We'll be back after this short break.